Surprise, motherfucker.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello. This is the Sunday Movie Marathon. Normal things, normal results.
Mm.
Episode 104. I'll do my intro now. Goes like this.
It goes something like this.
he's got his like lips like inside him, so it's like that.
Wow. No pajama party for you, Mr. Graham.
Fucking oh, fuck's sake.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that was my intro. How did you like it?
I have no clue what you just did.
I'll do it again for you.
Wow. No pajama party for you, Mr. Graham.
Thanks, that cleared it up.
Do you like that?
Yeah, nice.
John today.
I'm Graham.
I'm Otto.
I've said all the stuff that I need to say. How are we this week?
Yeah.
Fuck
doing
you.
Good.
I love when Chris does that because no one can see him. He's nodding. He's like, yeah.
Feeling
but
Christmassy.
It's like the most delayed thing ever. I think, I think we should have turned off the lights. I felt like that would have been more authentic.
You're closest to the lights.
Oh, I can turn them off.
You turn them off and then... It's feeling Christmassy in here. It's December once again.
Woo!
Fuck me, it's dark.
Oh,
Jesus, it's dark.
We live in a basement. Chris, there's a light up there. Slash them.
Honestly. I honestly. Fuck
fucker.
Me. It looks like I'm being interrogated. This is why we need a video component, really. We could put the camera there and fucking... You know, it'd be easy. Easy as piss. I don't have to edit it, but it would be easy.
Yeah. Those who can't see us don't know that we live in a basement with only four lights. But to anyone who listens, because the only people that do listen have already been here, we'll already know what this place is like.
We've got Christmas lights now, though.
Yeah, but they're behind Mac, so they don't really help him, to be fair. They're cute, though. I actually do like this tree topper now, but it doesn't do the cool thing that it said it was.
What was it supposed to do?
The lights were supposed to go like whooshing in, then whooshing out, kind of like zoo, 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 zoo. People can't see what I'm doing, but
waving your arms around.
Yeah, it kind of like zooms in and out like it's rippling, but yeah it doesn't do that with those. So.
I think we all know what you're talking about.
Mm, thank you.
You went out and got that tree, I think, right? Or like there was a story behind that tree. Well, you couldn't get a tree.
Wow,
you got a tree, and it sucked.
I only had two legs. I would have got
cancer
twice.
No, most trees don't have any legs.
Well, the thing is, it wasn't until my mum called me roughly, what was it, last night at 9 p.m. that she finally went, well, you know, you could have just like put it in a pot and you wouldn't have had to have gone back and gotten legs for it. And I was like, But
we don't have a pot, so.
No. I mean, in any
what
event,
do
it,
you
wasn't
have?
It wasn't handy. We had two legs. We needed four.
Between you.
Yeah.
So it seemed.
And to take the tree back, it took us two legs. And not four. But here we are.
Here we are. At the precipice of Christmas Day. Sort of.
Yeah, well.
Almost there. What we got plans for Christmas? Do you know what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm going home on Christmas Eve because I'm actually working on Christmas Eve till 2 p.m. and then I'm coming home and I'm getting picked up and I'm going to go home. I think I'm coming back on the 28th, but I'm not sure yet.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Christopher?
Yeah, seeing family. Think on Christmas Eve we're seeing It's a Wonderful Life, but...
Book.
Don't think we've actually 100% confirmed that yet.
With your family?
No, me and you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll go. Fuck it. I ain't got nothing on.
Yeah, I thought you guys would have been, I don't know, either doing that or with family. Well, not you, Chris, but maybe Max, I don't know.
Well, they showed it at a cinema, but it was on my birthday, so I can't go.
Oh, yes.
I have to go on Christmas Eve to another cinema. It's not completely out of the way. I don't mind, really.
Nah.
Very good movie. That we reviewed on this podcast last year. Go and listen to that episode right now, but after you listen to this one, which is not a Christmas episode. but it's no, you know, it's sort of.
It,
you know.
It leads into Christmas episodes.
Yeah, yeah, there was one scene in Dexter set at Christmas.
That, no, the whole episode was set at Christmas.
Technically.
Yeah. Did you finish the show?
I don't know what you're talking about. We Spotify Wrapped just came out. Everybody's talking about Spotify Wrapped.
Yes.
It may be that we are on your Spotify Wrapped.
I don't know who Spotify Wrapped are on.
We're on mine, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I'll bet we are.
I'll tell you that for free. Because I listen to the episodes after when they're like posted, just to see what we can do better and what we can improve. Most of the time, fucking spot on, man.
We've perfected the craft.
Another great week.
Yeah, I like that. Whenever we're done, a little nugget for the listeners. Max will go home and be like, great episode, guys. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, great episode, guys. Just keep the morale up. Even if I'm not really feeling it. I'm like, I don't know. Just got to say it, you know. And then when the episode comes out, I listen to it. I'm like, great episode, guys. Just to keep the morale boosted.
Manifesting that energy.
Because sometimes there are weeks you just don't feel it at all and you just want to not do it or even be a part of it at all.
I mean... Yeah, don't, we don't get paid for this shit. This is this. Out of passion, okay?
But not this week. This week we're on it like fucking Sonic. Like that man. I think I totaled the most minutes, I think.
Yeah.
Spotify Wrapped. Whatever that... But you guys didn't really... Did you have... You didn't have Spotify, Darcy.
No.
For a little bit.
I didn't have it for... Oh God, we're in December now. 11 months.
Right.
I think I used Apple Music for about 5 or 6 months.
Yeah. How many minutes did you accrue?
Let me get it up.
I only know mine because I sent it to Hannah because me and her always exchanged them. But I said I wasn't on Spotify this year. But in the 1 month that I was on it, I had done, hold on, it was 15,460.
It's commendable.
Yes,
it is. I would say it's commendable.
Mm.
We were in the top two of my top podcasts for this year.
Oh,
I had 28,603 minutes.
Not bad. Because sometimes I'll just like put the podcast on, like if I'm feeling lonely or alone, I just want to hear the sounds of my friends and like feel like I'm in conversation with you guys.
See, I used to listen to it religiously before I came on it, but
that
now that I'm on it,
I don't. You don't need to, do you?
Well, it was also the fact that I hate hearing my own voice back, so I'm like, oh God. Especially if I'm laughing. That is actually the worst.
What does that say about me?
Well, what do you mean, what does it say about you?
I must love the sound of my own voice.
Maybe you do. But then you're, I don't know, you guys are also musicians by trade, so I say trade. Yeah. But,
by trade and by virtue.
But I just feel like you guys are used to it and you guys obviously don't mind hearing yourselves, whereas I hate it, so I don't do it.
A lot of the time when I listen to the podcast, I just think of things that I wish I had said, and it just annoys me because I didn't bring it up.
I used to think that for sure, but I don't anymore.
No, I think you just have to kind of go with the flow. Be honest.
There's only so much you can put into an hour and a half conversation where you're bouncing around and doing lots of things, you know?
Yeah, especially when,
we wanted to put down everything, absolutely everything, then we would spend months and months on like a review or something and like, or write it down, I don't know. This is just off the cuff.
Yeah.
And we're not scripted here.
Well, we're not.
But not really.
I guess if Chris was making notes, maybe he should start noting down everything he wants to talk about, whereas...
Yeah, you should see into the future and understand what you could have said and then impart that onto the podcast. Oh, I didn't say my minutes listened. 115,938 minutes.
It's pretty good. Do you know what? That's a lot more than I've gone on my you know, the people just shout on their Instagram, on their stories.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably one of the highest that I've seen. Everyone else is like bragging about how they've got...
Yeah.
30,000 to 50,000. And I'm like, mate, I'm accumulated 15 in 1 month. Like, what is wrong with you boys?
Yeah, it's nothing to be proud of or even boast about whatsoever. It's algorithms and fucking, oh, look at this. The algorithm recorded me doing this. I'm think you're free? Fuck you. Of course not. No one's free in the Spotify Wrapped world.
No,
we all
that's
do
true.
The same thing every year. I like doing it. I like seeing what people have been listening to.
I actually think it's quite interesting. I'm actually
yeah,
very
I think
upset
it's just a bit
that
of fun.
I don't have one. Apparently Tidal did one about what year are we now? 22. They did one last year and then they didn't do one this year from the looks of things. So I guess I'll never find out how
it
many minutes.
It probably takes too much to collate into a handy little slide.
I guess so.
They hand you at the end. Here's your little slide with your top musicians and songs.
Everyone can find out that Charlie XCX is my most listened to artist the second year in a row.
Is she actually?
Yeah.
Mm. Mine was very unsurprising.
Yes.
Mine was Soul Token, once again.
Yeah, good one.
I don't think that's ever going to change at this point because I pretty much listen to those albums non-stop.
Mm. I like changing it up a bit.
I thought I'd
going
get bored.
For different things.
Mm.
I measured it because I screenshotted my one for last year, and all the artists and songs were completely different. So,
Do you know what? I'm so glad that you kind of brought it up because it's just triggered a brain memory for me that I went for it. So you know how you when you get when you do Wrapped, the last couple of years of your like most played songs come up. So it'd be like your most played 2019, 2020, that kind of thing. I looked at mine and I'm actually embarrassed at how many songs are on Most Played 2018 that are still on my Most Played of like this year. I'm like, do I not listen to anything else?
I think the last two or three years, my top five artists haven't massively changed.
No, for me, I find it quite embarrassing because I feel like I want to be one of those people that kind of like develops and grows. I've just stunted myself musically because I can't listen to anything else without I find it really difficult to listen to new music. I know you guys obviously know this, but like I just find it really difficult because if I don't vibe with it straight away, I'll probably just never listen to it ever again. Or someone will be like, oh, listen to this, and I'm like okay, and I won't get to it for like a week, and I'll be like,
part of my 10-year plan to eventually get you to be an insanely devoted fan to my favorite band.
I mean, I
drip feed you songs. You know, maybe you'll like this one, and you go, that one's shit. And then I recommend you the same song a year later.
Have you done that yet? I don't know.
It's going to, you know.
No, that's a game that you
the
could
process.
Do, though.
It's I'm playing the long game.
To be fair, there have been some massive hits for Max, though. Like, he'll be like, oh, Doss, listen to this thing, and then I'll listen to it for like 6 weeks straight.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes he's got some proper bangs,
sometimes
there's some massive misses.
I need to know what were any of those.
Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
But then you're asking me to remember things in a split moment of a decision, so it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll make a coherent list for you.
We're doing the Sunday music marathon now.
oh yeah, we totally
song
tangented.
Fucking two to five were like from the exact same artist and the exact same album for me. Because I think a new album will come out and I'll just rinse it just like over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So like most of the songs that I played apparently were from Spirit Box's new album,
nice.
Which I think came out last year.
Yeah, it did.
But I only got around to it like early this year, and then like I played like a bunch of like Nothing But Thieves album just like over and over and over again. The
I think
Wombats,
that was one that
I did
you recommended,
that with.
To be fair.
Lorna Shore, I've done that with loads, and The Devil Wears Prada. I'm a mad of the music, you know. I've got to get my fix. I've got to get more and more new things, more new stuff.
I actually think that Spirit Box album was probably the thing that I listened to like every day for about 3 months or something ridiculous.
My top two songs of the year are from that Ariana Grande album, Thank You Next, because I discovered that in January.
Sure,
and
I'm gonna see if I have anything like.
That's a good one. That's a good album.
Yeah,
that's
a great album.
Tell us.
Oh yeah, I remember Chris was laughing because 4 out of 5 of my top songs are all Sleep Token songs, and the only song that wasn't is a song that is on my top played but not on my top artist, which doesn't make any sense, and it's a Billy Talent song.
Oh yeah,
makes no sense. I just don't understand where this comes from. But
yeah,
then again,
sometimes
I only,
it doesn't.
Yeah, I only
sometimes
have,
you don't know.
You know, if you only have it for like a month, you're only going to accumulate so much.
Last year
music.
Was like fucked for me because Bo Burnham put out his movie
Inside.
I rinsed that album because it went on Spotify. I just played it pretty much every day, and then he turned into my top artist of that year.
Yeah. Weren't like all of your top five songs from that album as well?
No, none of them were.
Ah, fair.
None of them were. No, most of them were from Don Broco's album.
Oh, Amazing to be fair, that wasn't. They were actually. I think they were like my third. Yeah. Most of us listened to artists. But that was last year.
Last year I totaled 83,151 minutes. So.
Oh really?
You're really getting there this year, aren't you?
I think it's because I started that new job this year and I can just hook up to the Alexa and listen to my music all day.
Oh, that's what I do at work now,
I've been there for about 6 months now and I just do that like any time I'm there, Monday to Friday,
yeah,
9 to 5.
We don't have a music license at our place, so we just sit in silence.
Oh my God, that's like the worst thing you've ever told me. At least
that is sad. That is very sad.
The thing is, we don't have a music license, but I'm still out there with my little Samsung little speaker playing my Spotify.
Well, you're
like there's
probably
no tomorrow.
Not policed too much.
That is true. Actually,
I don't think anyone really enforces it. It's just like one of those things that you're supposed to have.
Yeah, the PRS license.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not. I don't really get it though, because it's not like. You're doing anything. You're just playing. Like if you're already paying for someone like Spotify, could you not just use your own personal?
No.
I don't care.
It's not
that.
How it works. You're in a public place.
All right. Well, I'm yet to be told by the policeman of Albert Road to turn off my spirit box every time I play at work.
Enforces it.
Oh, I do when customers come in and they go, oh, God, I thought you'd be listening to the Carpenters. What on earth is this? And I'm like, I have to turn it down half the time when people come in because I get embarrassed. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, last job I was in, I sort of bent the rules a bit because, like, sometimes I would be on the front desk and, like, people would come in and it was an art gallery. So I would just, like, play what I thought an art gallery would play. Mm. But, like, it was just my music most of the time. But nobody complained. It was a lot of Novo Amor. Very, subtle and like calming music, I think. I could get away with it.
We stopped putting on the radio at work because obviously we don't know how much of this I should give away because you know like technically it's illegal to loan trade and things in the United Kingdom, but
you don't say your work. I think it's fine.
That's cool. Well, yeah, I trade alone a lot of the time, so one of my colleagues was like, yeah, I put on like Radio 6 because people talk and I just feel like there's people here with me, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I started getting into this weird habit of putting on the radio, but I only put on the radio for about half an hour at a time because then I'll hear a song that I've already heard, or it'll be like, it's the Christmas remix. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And then I'll have to put on something else. So I switch between like 6 different radio stations every day. And then I give up and put on Spotify by about 3 p.m.
That's what's good about podcasts. You can curate it. When you listen to the radio, it's just the same thing over and over again, and everybody acts very, really over the top.
It's
a good thing about this podcast. We will never be enthusiastic enough for you to even think about. Yeah, maybe they're a bit too much.
Maybe they're a bit too.
We're
radio.
Never too much. No, we're never really anything.
Yeah, no. I always thought if it was going to be any of us, for it would definitely be me. But I'm.
I think we're normal.
Yeah, I just don't think I want to come across as that dynamic about,
like, whoa, this was awesome. We're never going to be like that.
That's
why we have our slogan, normal things, normal results.
You just made that up, though.
No, you said it. You made that up. And I appropriated it.
When did I say that?
A couple of episodes ago. It's not on the podcast, but right before you said normal things, normal results. And I said, I'm going to use that forever and always now. So you watched a movie.
We started with me because we need to time manage me.
Oh, don't worry, you're on the clock.
No, actually I'm just getting up the movie because I didn't actually write it down. I just kind of was, I just wrote lull and then that was it. Like there was no like context to that.
So for some reason you decided to take it upon yourself to watch a movie today that was what? Indian and about 2.5 hours long.
It is 2 hours and 24 minutes.
Why?
Well, so there's this guy I watch on YouTube. His name's 16 Leo, and he. So So when I'm getting ready in the morning to go to work or just whatever, I'll put on like a YouTube video, just something mindless, so I have something in the background whilst I'm getting ready or whatever, right?
We can't be alone with our thoughts, people.
No, especially not me.
We can't do it. I'm exactly the same.
And I just saw one of his videos and it was something stupid like Bollywood remix Forrest Gump and it is hilariously bad as you think it is. And I was like, oh shit, because Forrest Gump is one of my favourite movies. If not your fave. It is, in fact, probably my favourite movie. But I saw this video and the second I saw, like, because he was playing like clips from it, because he was basically doing like a talk through, and I only got about 10 or 15 minutes into this episode of whatever series he was doing, right? And I went, I'm actually going to watch this. So I just stopped it and watched something else. But basically, yeah, I watched a movie, and I think this guy called Amir Khan.
Amir Khan?
Yep, his name's Amir Khan, no joke.
Ain't that the football player?
I thought Amir Khan was like probably a boxer or something.
I mean, he's one of the sports people.
Yeah, he's one of the people.
He's one of the people. Amir Khan.
I was going to say, this is not him.
Born professional
though.
Boxer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's obviously not him. It's a different guy with the same name.
Right, right.
Apparently, he and his company and like Viacom or something, I don't know the story off by heart because I kind of glazed past it when this YouTuber was talking about it. Bought the rights to the screenplay for Forrest Gump, right? And then they remade it. For why, no one knows, because it's only been 28 years since the last, the original
There's
movie came out.
There's loads of those sort of like Bollywood remakes of like classic
so,
American
yeah,
movies.
No idea, but it's on Netflix and you can watch it in English, but I said, no, I'm going to preserve the Indian and I'm going to watch it in, I'm guessing it's Punjab? Is that the language? I don't know. Right. Anyway.
We've got a lot of languages there.
Okay. I just realised there was something that I didn't look up that I was meant to look up.
Yeah, it's more likely it's probably Hindi.
It might actually tell me when I go to look at the details. It is in Hindi, yes.
Yeah.
So the film's called Lal Singh Shada, and it's about this guy called Lal who does all the things that Forrest Gump did, but it's like the Indian equivalent. So you know how in Forrest Gump, they had all the historical American things that were happening, like the Vietnam War and Elvis and all this other kind of shit. They do the same, but they do like Indian historic events. So, there's a lot
like
of stuff
partition.
That I did. That, do you know what? I'll be honest, I can't remember. There was only one that I wrote down. There was something about Gandhi was mentioned at the very beginning.
Right.
And then there was something called, I wrote it down.
You want to call him an event?
I'm trying to actually find the event. Like I said, this is a very long list that I've got. The Mandal Commission. That is the only other thing I've written down, because that's the only thing that they, I didn't say that they explained, but I think they assumed that a lot of people watching this movie would be people that knew Indian history, because I was just like, okay, things are happening.
Maybe.
Like they were talking about, so in the original Forrest Gump, Forrest meets Elvis and then shows him is like that weird dance move that he does, and then Elvis doesn't and gets famous. But apparently there's a Shah Rukh Khan, some famous Bollywood actor. Apparently Lal meets him and then he does the dance and then he becomes like this famous Bollywood actor and all this kind of shit. And essentially, I just wanted to see all the parallels, right? So it takes 4 minutes and 17 seconds for the feather to land on Lal's feet.
Right.
And in the original, it takes like 30 fucking seconds. But it was really cool because you see all these like nice shots of like modern day like India, basically, and all these cool like... Because obviously in the original, he's sitting on a park bench and he's just kind of chilling. But in this one, he's actually on a train. Woo-hoo-hoo! And he starts getting like crowds of people that are on the train, like started talking to him like, oh, and then what happened? And then this happened. And it was really funny. But there's a lot of like, you know, references that kind of go back and forth to what the original was like. And then I kind of had the, you have that innate thing to just constantly compare them. So I was writing stuff who's the Jenny in this movie? And her name's Rupa. And then I was like, who's the Bubba in this movie? And his name's like Bala or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just trying to find like all the like the parallels to it. And there was, so you know that my favorite bit of this whole film, actually, I'm going to ignore the rest of it because I've written so many notes. But there was this one bit that it was like the best bit of the whole film. So you know in the original where he goes running?
Yeah.
Boris goes running and he's running for fucking years
and
years.
He does that a lot.
And years, yeah. Right?
In my mind, that's about half the movie.
Okay.
Do you mean when he like just
constantly
keeps running
yeah,
he's
going.
Like got a beard and shit?
Yeah, they do it in this film as well.
Nice.
And oh my God. Do you know what? I'm not going to lie. It shit all over the original, but only because...
Nah.
No, the only reason I say that is because it had so many nice fucking shots of like rural and like outback places of India. And I was like, this is fucking incredible. Like when he's talking to Rupa, like, you know, when she's dying, like Jenny died of like AIDS or whatever, but she dies from a mysterious illness or cancer or something. Because
mm-hmm.
God forbid they give her fucking AIDS, right? But
different time.
Oh my God, there's this bit where he's talking about, so you know, in the original he's talking about the two skies that meet, like when does heaven stop and the earth begins, that kind of shit. He doesn't quite word it the same though, which is a bit lame because that's like my favourite line in the whole film. But he goes, oh, then there was like this twilight milky things in like the deserts of India. Fucking hell. He's standing there and there's like this sexy like fucking like twilight fucking Milky Way thing behind him. Oh my God. I think I actually wrote I said something like, holy shit, the fucking star scene is incredible. There was just a lot of really cool things. Like I just liked all the, like, there was like a lot of cool like changes that they did, like little Indian twists and stuff. Like there was a thing right at the beginning, and I'm gonna butcher this so badly. The box of chocolates is replaced with something called a Golgapass or something. I don't know.
I don't even know what you're trying to say.
I didn't look it up afterwards, which was what I was supposed to do, but then I started doing work and I forgot to do it. But essentially, it looks like a sweet treat. It looks kind of like a baked good. I don't know what it was, but it looked really cool. There's just so many things. Like the notes, I'm not even justifying this movie, right? Because there's just so many notes about how, like, cool I found some of the things, and then how like lame I found some of the things as well. Like I think I wrote a note about two hours and 8 minutes into it, and I said, I have lost all interest now, but it's taken 2 hours to do this. So I
not
thought
bad.
fair enough. Yeah. And then when he meets his son, his son's name's Aman, right? And you know, in the original he goes, oh, you know, look, you got a kid now. And she's
Aman.
Like, yeah. And then she goes, his father's name is Lal Singh, shut up, whatever. And he goes, oh, he's got the same name as me. And I was like, oh yeah, Forrest is meant to be like really stupid, isn't he? Yeah. So you forget that he goes, like, then he starts freaking out because he's like, oh shit, I've got a kid. And she's like, oh yeah, surprise. It's just so stupid. And they get married and it's rich. You know what? Really nice wedding. They wear like baby pinks and they do all the traditional Indian customs and it's really, really nice. I mean...
Wait, so does Jenny not die in this one?
Jenny does die in this movie.
But she gets married first.
Yeah, so they get married first and then just like in the original, she pretty much dies like straight after. Like he then goes into the... They do the exact same scene that they do with, you know, his mum where they're sitting together and she's laying in bed or whatever. That happens with his mum, then it happens again with Rupa, who is like the Jenny equivalent. And yeah, she just kind of dies, but she doesn't even look sick when she's like dying.
Did they get married in the original?
They did, yeah.
Okay, I don't remember. I've not seen that film in so long.
Mm. They did. And then there's that one of the final scenes where Lyle's talking to Rupa's like gravestone. She has a fucking lovely gravestone. Absolutely gorgeous. I was like, he's so much better than Jenny's. And I was like, but Jenny also was a bitch.
Yeah, Jenny's a cunt.
That's the thing, though. This film is so much like, I want to say tamer in the way they deal with that kind of stuff, because you would never the themes that they do in the original, they didn't even touch in this. Like, oh my God, there was one thing in this film, though. It was really fucking dark. So Rupa's like praying that she becomes rich because everyone in Lal's village is like really, really poor. And Lal's like the only, like his family's like the only people with money, basically. And this guy's like shouting at his wife, like, yeah, I know you have more rupees. I need more rupees. And she's like, it's for Rupa's education. And then this guy fucking slams the shit out of her and she dies because you can hear the crack. And I was like, fuck me. And then she gets wheeled out in this fucking, like, you know, the fucking...
the gurney.
Fuck it, yeah, with a cloth over her. And they're just like, oh, yeah, he just killed your mum. And she's standing there just watching as her dead corpse fucking comes out. I was like, that was dark. And that never happened in the original movie. Jesus Christ. That was probably one of the worst parts was just like, oh, God. It was like... it felt so out of touch with the rest of it because, like, obviously, Jenny's like a massive like crack addict in the original, and poor Rupa, she's just poor. So she's like, she's become a model and actress, but she's like sleeping with like older men and like men with like money and stuff like that. And that's about as like risque as it kind of goes, to be honest. The rest of it is just kind of like tame in comparison. But God, it was. Do you know what? It was all right because people were complaining about it being like really, really awful. I don't think it was awful. I just, I'd say it's prettier than the original by far, if I'm going to be honest.
Suck it, Zemeckis.
It's definitely prettier, but would I say it's better? No. Would I even say it's great? No.
Not but great, but visually quite nicer.
Yeah, like I just don't think it's as bad as people are saying it is. I mean,
yeah.
Okay, if we're going to compare it, then sure, yeah. But
yeah,
I think it has its own...
that naturally happens, I think.
I just think it has its own like personality to it. And I think you don't have to have necessarily watched or even like Forrest Gump, I think, to if you wanted to enjoy this film, if that makes sense. I don't think it's a requirement, but
as long as it tells its story.
That's what I mean. I think... It goes about it in its own way that you probably, I mean, obviously it copies enough of the original Forrest Gump for it to be like, this is a Forrest Gump remake. Mm-hmm. But if you had taken out most of those elements, you could have just said it was kind of like it, but wasn't it, if that makes sense. Like they could have just made it its own thing, but they just didn't. And I don't know why.
I personally want to see Bollywood remakes of all movies. I think that would be awesome.
I mean, if it was like a Bollywood
remake of Blade Runner, that would slap.
Do you know what they did? Was it? No, it wasn't. It wasn't Bollywood. Never mind. I recently heard about this. I can't remember what country it was, but recently, or Spanish or Mexican. So one of these two, right, had remade the whole Breaking Bad series.
Yeah, that was Mexico.
Fucking hilarious. I watched the whole video on it when you guys all went to the pub one day and I was like, watch this. It looked like shit. It genuinely looked like shit.
When the cat's away, eh?
This is what I do when you guys are gone. I have to entertain myself with terrible, terrible videos.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that a lot. Nice.
Some of it was cool.
A ringing endorsement. Go watch it. It's on Netflix. Whatever it was called.
Don't worry, Chris is now going to have to find the post for it later. So.
That's true.
Cool. Yeah. So, Chris and I saw a movie that Darcy didn't see.
That's true.
It's called Bardo. And I didn't write down the subtitle, but I'm going to try and come up with it right off the top of my head. It's it's about truth and fucking lies. So like a handful of
you got
a handful
there,
of truth about series of unfortunate events.
I've got it up. It's about events. I enjoy that.
Chronicle. It's about chronicles.
Yeah, Chronicle is in the title.
No, Bardo Chronicle of a handful It's false. Truth and false is what it is. False chronicle of a handful of truths.
Yeah.
Nice.
You got it eventually.
Nice.
Yes.
Do you what makes it worse? I saw that come up on Netflix earlier, and I was like, I must remember this title. Mm-hmm. And what did what
Bardo
happened?
False chronicle of a handful of truths. It's yeah. The new Alejandro González Iñárritu movie. Nice. Came out in the cinema where we are before it goes directly to Netflix.
On the 16th, I believe it is.
On yeah. the 16th of mm-hmm. December. So, this is a movie made by one of the true greats in the system. He made such hits as Birdman, Modest Peros, and
The Revenant. And we watched Babel, he did that.
We watched Babel.
Babel's the only one, no.
Cracker.
Yeah, Babel's great.
Cracker of a movie. Bardo, is it as good or is it It's about this guy, a journalist who's been away, he's doing journalist stuff in America. He goes back to Mexico, his homeland.
Yeah, he like, makes documentaries
he
and
makes
shit.
Documentaries. He goes back, he's like, I'm back, and everyone's like, you make movies for the Americans, don't you? You sold out or whatever. And he's like, it's about a lot of stuff. It's about Mexico. It's about like basically Iñárritu telling his story. I think I got a lot from him telling his story of what it was like to work in the Hollywood American system. Yeah. Going back to Mexico, trying to pick things up or like trying to reconnect with his culture in a way.
Yeah, this is his first Mexican movie since Morris Peros' first movie.
So there we go.
Interesting.
I really enjoyed it. It's not like it's hard to really describe in a narrative sense because it's not really going for like direct, straightforward narrative. It's like it's a handful of you know stuff.
Is it
it's just like a lot of stuff going?
Kind of
like segments, but like it all kind of links into each other. It is in a sort of way.
I think that's his staple, though, isn't it? That's what Babel did. Everything's just one thing.
Yeah, he has like that trilogy, I think it's called like Trilogy of Death or something that Babel's part of with like a Morris Peros and 21 Grams.
Yeah.
Where it's all like interconnected stories, like four or five different stories all in one. Whereas this isn't really that. It's just kind of like it's just a series of events that happens to this guy throughout a portion of his life.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how was it?
Fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
That was the question that everyone wanted to know.
It's very, very divisive from the seams of things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
People seem to be quite mixed on it. It got a couple of like film festival screenings, which were like very, very poorly received. And I think he went in and like cut out like half an hour or something.
Oh, yeah, didn't you say it? Yeah, so everyone said it was too long.
Yeah, they
and I'll
were
be
like,
honest, what,
it's
3 hours. That is too long.
People were like, it's disjointed and doesn't make a lot of sense. And it's too long and now it's been cut down and everyone seems to say it's definitely a lot better in its current form. It's still 3 hours long. It's still like a really chunky movie, but
I thought it was less than that though.
No, it's 3 hours. It was originally like 3.5.
Oh,
and now it's 3 hours.
Right. I thought they cut it from 3 to 2 and I thought you said it was like 2:40 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean that's not technically 3 hours though, is it? If we're gonna go there.
Like watching a man make his magnum opus in a sort of way. Because I felt like it was all about him. And he was exploring
I think Chris said that when he got home that night, to be fair.
A lot of his own experiences in working in cinema and doing all this stuff. I mean, the guy is a journalist. but obviously, Iñárritu, he's a filmmaker and like he does blur the lines a lot and enough to where you can be like, yeah, he's definitely talking about his own experiences and like in the system. I think I cried the whole way through. I'm not gonna lie. I think like from the beginning, I don't know. It was like it feels like he did it for like the love of it, and like if there was any movie you could look at and be like, this was made because this man wanted to make it and he needed to express himself. This is that movie. It's
is
like so
what?
Much in terms of the expression of it, and I wasn't really like narratively going like, oh, this leads into this and this is this.
Yeah, it kind of it kind of feels like a therapy session, I think.
Yeah, is that why it was so, like, I'm not going to go with the word sad, but I guess when people cry, they're touching, I guess, is maybe the word I'm looking for.
It was very emotional.
Yeah, was it because of what it brought, or?
I think he's trying to say a lot with, like, a lot of, like, sort of subtle metaphor and, like, different things that happen within the movie where it's, like, I don't know if I can be like, this means this because he's thinking about this and this correlates to that. It's just like things happen. You're like, oh, okay.
Mm.
That brought about a certain feeling and that makes me feel kind of sad. But like, I understand where he's kind of coming from, this idea of going back home and finding that it's not really home in a sort of way. But like,
yeah.
Like, where do you call home? And I got this idea of like his kind of dual stance on the idea of borders and nationality being kind of vague or maybe unimportant, with the idea of identifying with your nationality and loving your country so much, and it's like this place you call home, but how can you, like, I think he tries to blur the lines with that a lot between this guy who lived in America for so long. He owns a house there, he pays, you know, tax, and he has a visa. He goes back and forth which one is really his home.
Yeah.
And there was like a fantastic fucking scene in this movie where that kind of clicked for me, where he met, like, he goes back to America and he has to go through customs, and the security guard is like, I've got it written down, actually. I, like, wrote it straight after he says, this is not your home. You can't call it your home. And he's like, this is my home. I live here. I pay tax. I've got a visa. I've lived here for ages. He's like, that's fine, sir, but you can't, like, this is not your home. You can't call it your home. Which is obviously not what a security guard would say to you if you're like,
oh, fucking hope not.
Oh, what's your, like, purpose of visiting? And he says, I live here. And he's like, no, you don't. You can't. Like, you can't call this your home.
You actually don't live here.
It's so sad. Mm. It's so sad. He's like, and he gets so mad about it. He's like, he calls his superior and he's like, this guy, he just told me that this wasn't my home and it upset me a lot and I need him to apologize to me. And he, like, the security guard comes out and he's like, oh, I don't speak Mexican, I'm an American. When they, like, try to speak Mexican to him, and the son says, America's a continent, asshole. We're all fucking American. Yeah. It's like, yes, I love that. It's like, it's also poking fun at, like, just racism and people with the flimsy fucking excuses for being horribly racist.
Why don't you go back to where you came from? A lot of them are, like, already born in the country that they're chatting
American,
about.
American, asshole. It's like, that's not, first of all, that's not a language.
You're right, it's not.
Second of all, America is a continent. It's like the United States of America is one country, but America is that whole place, you know.
I think that also just kind of, I don't know, just kind of highlights how, like, if you could hear yourself, wouldn't you be like, God, that's embarrassing. Did you just hear what I just said?
A whole, like, a big part of the movie is, like, the character's kind of, getting, like, a big literary award or something in America for, like, journalism. He's, like, the first Mexican to ever do it.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ever get it. And it kind of feels like he's almost, like, referencing, like, getting nominated for Oscars and stuff. Mm-hmm. How that's, like, very much, like, a big American thing.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of guilt in the movie.
Yeah, is that, like, I was going to say something like imposter syndrome, but technically he's not American, is he? So... Is it one of those things where, you know, I guess you kind of feel like you're invading on, like, I don't know how to describe this without, I don't want it to come off wrong, but, like, is that something that, like, you would feel like you shouldn't be doing because you're not technically in that? It's like when people go, Australia's in the Eurovision. They're not in Europe. They aren't a part of Europe.
Yeah.
They're their own place. And is it similar to that, you know? Like, he's like, oh, I'm not American.
He kind of feels like guilt for kind of leaving his country to go to...
Okay, we're going to different places here.
Big, like, American country and getting, like, big, like, awards and kind of, like, reaping in the, like, the fame and the glamour of America while, like, people in Mexico struggle.
Right, but the thing is, though, And I don't want it to become a political thing, because I'm not going to start going into like the you know, all that kind of stuff. But like, if he's gone over to America for, I don't know why he went in the first place, but he's gone to America for some reason, and he's worked hard to get all the awards and the acclaim and stuff, and then why should he feel bad? He worked for that.
I think there's a big part of the movie where he like feels like people in Mexico like judge him for leaving, and that is kind of like brought up a little bit.
Yeah,
it's like there's a big like journalist, like TV host in America, in Mexico, who was like his best friend, and they like came up together, and they have like a scene together, but like this big ceremony where they're like just arguing, and he's like saying that he thinks his work is just shit. He doesn't think there's like any like like journalistic like
what integrity
weight.
Or something.
No, yeah, integrity and weight.
Oof. I mean, that's a little bit harsh, but I mean, some people, the thing is, I don't think it matters who you are. Some people are generally just going to think you work shit anyway. I know, they're saying that for certain like reasons.
I love that scene. And it is also about like, it's art, you know, documentary. Yeah. And to a certain extent, it's, you can like a documentary, but somebody else might not like a documentary.
Yeah. It's subjective, isn't it, really?
But, you know, you tell information, if it's doing well enough with the information that it's got, then I think it's like fine enough to have opinions on it. But like, if it's just like something that's like poorly told, it's, I don't know. I think when it gets into documentary, it gets a bit more linear.
Yeah, that's the difference between like what's smut and factual information, I suppose.
I think there was a bit in that scene where he like says that he's tired of showing what he thinks, and he wants to show what he feels instead.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that kind of resonated quite deeply with a lot of the themes of the movie and how it's presented.
Yeah, definitely. Just going for like that more metaphorical angle, or just like not so linear storytelling. It's like a handful of events where in that you kind of think, well, it's not like everything. He's not showing you everything. Can't show you everything. It's just like a handful of like little things that can kind of show you about how he was feeling at the time that he made it. It is also a lot about Mexico, and in terms of that I think there's a lot about the movie that I don't understand or can't understand because I'm not from that culture, and it's not really trying to communicate to me on that level, but I understand that he understands what he's trying to say. I really like the scene where, like, I guess we're going into spoilers. It's hard to spoil this movie because it is like, the way it is. But there's a scene where like he's kind of walking alone in this cityscape, and he comes up to like this massive hill, and there's a guy on top of it, like shouting, and he tries to climb the hill, but it's made out of bodies, and they're all supposed to be dead. Who is it? Cortez. And they have this conversation where like Cortez, like discovered Mexico, or in terms of like, it was like supposed to be paralleling like Christopher Columbus and how he discovered America, and like,
right, okay.
They were talking about like they were the Indian savages before, and like I'm Cortez and I'm here and I made Mexico what it is. He was like, the guy said, they're not Indians, and they weren't Indians, like, stop calling them Indian because they weren't from India.
Yeah, I've never quite, I don't know, is that like, because I swear that's like, I don't know if that's an American thing, but I swear that's always been like a point of contention, is whether it's something or something else.
I've always been of the mind that they call them Indian.
Yeah, Native Indian. Brown. Is that what that is?
I think they look like Indians, sort of, because they're brown. Skin tone is brown.
Fuck, I never thought about that.
That's why I got a lot of flack for that when I was growing up, and I let slip that I was partially Indian.
Oh, what you thought?
Never really thought that they like I was like American, like Native American.
Oh, you
American.
Were Native American.
Yeah. A teacher said to me, I said, oh, because I had gotten the wrong end of the stick. She was talking about like Native American Indians. I was like, my granddad was Indian. And then she like stood me up in front of the whole class and went, Max just told me that his grandfather was Native American Indian. I'm like, that's not what I fucking said. And then they chased me around the playground yelling racist abuse at me. But yeah, I really like that scene. where he's on the hill and they're talking about that. That really, that made me think, you know. There's a lot in here that makes you think.
To be honest, I didn't really like that scene that much, but it might be one that maybe a second go I like it a bit more if I like really understand what's going on.
I think that is part of the problem though, isn't it? If you don't quite understand something, you it's just gonna, yeah, there's it's just a lot gonna go straight over in it.
Went over my head, but I could sort of pick out pieces and be like, oh, okay, like I kind of understand, and it all kind of feeds into how he's feeling and what he wants to communicate, you know. There's like parts of that was just like crying and I didn't really know why I was crying. The old Tenet line, like, don't think it, feel it, you know.
Maybe that was, maybe that was the whole point actually. Maybe you just don't think about it. If you're feeling it, just be in the moment.
There are a lot of like really interesting, like kind of surreal, like visual things going on. I think one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when he's like at this big like awards party, like this big party in Mexico, like celebrating him getting this award, and he sneaks off into the bathroom and like sees his dad who's like passed away, and like suddenly he's like, his height is like the size of a child, and he's got like a really big like adult size head, but the rest of him's like a child.
That's horrible.
It's like it's really like uncanny valley like visually, but it's like I think it works really well, and like the scene is really, really beautiful and powerful. While they're like just kind of talking, just
I like them juxtaposing kind of that funny, humorous nature of like his head's really big and he's really small, and he's like, "I love you, daddy." And but then like what they're talking about is so like it really hits home emotionally. I think he's very good at juggling that. And I thought a lot of this movie is very funny. And I thought, he's very good at that. We saw that with Birdman. He's very good at imbuing his movies with comedy and when it needs to be comedic. And he did that a lot with this because it was about his life, really. And I guess, you know, you don't really tell a story about a portion of your life or like in that grand scale type of thing without having just a lot of comedy in there as well. As well as like all the kind of sour or upsetting notes.
Yeah, I guess obviously it gets too heavy, I suppose, isn't it?
There's a great scene where like he's running around trying to chase his wife through the house. Sometimes she disappears. I'm like, is she really there, or like, does she exist? And like, they're kind of running around and they're naked, and then she does exist, and it's a lot of fun, just like seeing them and how much he loves his family, and how he kind of dragged them to America for a while, and like his son speaks English fluently, but he often speaks English in substitute of Spanish, even just because that's how he was raised. And he was like, I don't know why you brought us to America for that long. And like, I don't know. And he's kind of juggling with this idea of maybe you shouldn't have done it, or like, what was the right thing? And what does it mean to, like, how do you get things right as a parent? Or like, how do you know what to get right? Especially when you're like a journalist and you're going everywhere and you're seeing everything. He sees a lot of shit. I really like the parts where like, there's like a mass wave of like, immigration, he's like trying to report it, but it's like so fucked up because like just nobody's having a good time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Ooh. I mean I probably have a bit more to say. I'm just looking through my notes now. I don't know. I like when his wife kind of confronts him. She says, why, when a Mexican complains about Mexico, you're happy to agree and like piss on it? But when a gringo complains about Mexico, you become incredibly patriotic and defend it with your life.
What is a gringo?
It's a white person.
I mean,
Darcy clearly did not listen to our From Dusk Till Dawn episode.
Probably not, mate.
It was that, and it was the Puppy Star Christmas episode.
I know, sorry, yeah, it was that one, wasn't it?
Oh,
it wasn't.
God, yeah, because it probably said Puppy Star Christmas. I said, nope, avoiding that. Yeah. Oh man, I was just about to like. No, but
it's about like defending your nation or like your country.
Oh yeah, but like I suppose that's like the normal thing
sort
to
of
do, though, isn't
patriotism
it?
Patriotism towards where you
even
come
if you
from.
Think it, even if you think it's a shitto, you have to. It's like I can say it's shit, but you can't fucking say it's shit.
Yeah,
it's like when people start ragging on me about Luton, I'm like, mate, it is a shitto. But if you're not from there, you haven't been there.
Don't say shit.
Yeah.
Even though I say shit about Luton all the time.
Yeah, but you're a scumbag. But I'm also from a place where everyone also is a scum.
Yeah. And with that, we'll rate the movie.
Yeah. This is like such a deathly packed, like huge movie that I feel like it's difficult to kind of talk about it quite like unscripted, like without many notes very quickly. So I feel like it's one we probably could easily like talk about again in the future, like do a proper all three of us diving into it.
Yeah.
Get a good discussion out of it. I think it's a really fascinating movie. Completely understand why it's very divisive. But I do hope that when it hits Netflix, maybe it finds its audience. It really does feel like the sort of movie that in a few years time people are going to be talking about a lot, even if they aren't really now. But yeah, I love the movie. Give it 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't think there's any like wrong or right way to talk about the movie, especially with what it's how it's structured. It's a lot of things thrown at you and can only have a conversation that kind of mimics that sort of pattern. But yeah, I loved it. Pretty much couldn't stop crying. And I would like everybody to see it when it comes out. I hope it does very well. I understand why people wouldn't like it, but for me it's like exactly my kind of movie, and I didn't read any reviews going in beforehand. I didn't even really know what it was about so much. I just know that he made it, and I knew it was going to be something, you know. Whatever he does, it's always something. You need to pay attention to it. He's a fantastic director. He's one of the best working today, and this movie is a fucking masterpiece. I'll give it 10 out of 10. Loved it.
Nice.
I do wonder if people are going to watch that.
Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see.
It's just shat onto Netflix.
Yeah, because if it's on Netflix...
Oh, this, do you want to watch this Mexican, three-hour
yeah,
Mexican
like,
movie
no,
about...
No, I'm not going to watch that.
Just like a string of things that happens to this man.
Yeah. I think a lot of like the film nerds will watch it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be...
They'll be like, from the director of The Revenant and Birdman. And they'll be like, I like those movies, so I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
That might be what happens.
Yeah, it's either going to be like... Yeah, you're going to get a niche bunch of people being like, God... Got to fucking watch that, and then
it's not for everyone. It's definitely not for everyone. Not something that everybody has to like. I don't think it's supposed to.
Yeah,
I just wonder who's actually going to watch it. To be fair,
what a director though!
Fucking insane director.
I've only got two of his movies I've not watched, but I've literally loved every single one I've seen.
Yeah, yeah. Damn, he's one of the ones.
One of the ones. All right, come on, Chris. What do you do?
We're doing a season one of a show Chris picked. If you haven't understood what that is, we do a show every episode that ends in a 5, but this time it's a 4 because we've got a Christmas episode next week. And before we used a wheel to determine what we were going to watch, it was randomized, but now we decided that it's too much to watch to be determined by a random wheel, so we're just going to decide for ourselves what we're going to pick. So Chris picked the very first show of this ilk. What did you pick, and explain it a bit?
Yeah, so I picked the show Dexter. It's a show, I don't know if I'd consider it my favourite, but it's definitely up there. It's a show that I do think is incredibly flawed, especially this season. But there's just something about it. I just love it, even like despite its flaws. I kind of love the things I think... bad about it.
Like, aren't we really keen to see what Max is saying? Yeah, because apparently Chris has been actively avoiding asking you, Max, how you felt about it, because he wanted to get the first real insight
we're
discussing
into that in
here.
A second.
Okay,
so the show is about Dexter Morgan, who is he works for the Miami Metro PD as a blood splatter analyst by day, but by night he is a serial killer.
By night, he is a serial killer.
Yeah, he's like an angel of death. He goes around, he kills other serial killers. He's like
and
lives his life
people.
By a code created by his father. It's like, yeah, Harry. It's like a way of like keeping out of prison, killing people who deserve it, who kind of slip through the cracks of the system. The first season's about that. Kind of introducing you to the character and his life and all the people around him. And also about this serial killer called the Ice Truck Killer, or that's what he's nicknamed by the Miami Metro. And it's like this big web between him and the killer.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. What was up with that, Darcy?
What was up with that, you say? No, I'll let you start because...
let me start.
What I'm going to rag on about just happens in the last episode anyway, because I genuinely was, even though it had some cheesy, corny, stupid shit in it, it was the last episode that pissed me off.
Yeah, there was like a reveal in the last episode that Darcy found stupid.
It's 2005, right? So it is the most Criminal Minds-esque predictable shit. But me and Chris have spent so much time talking about it together that I actually want to know what Max thought about it, because we are so independent from this. I don't even know if you even fucking finished it. What did you think about it, Max? He did the same thing as me. He just made this face like, ooh.
I did finish it. 11 episodes. You know, it's I didn't finish like the Chappelle Show because like I could just drop off of that. It doesn't matter. This one's telling an actual narrative. It's certainly not as boring as something as like The Expanse, where I didn't finish that.
Holy fuck,
so
that
dull.
Was awful. Yeah. How many episodes did we get that? 3?
You did. I got way further than you.
Oh yeah, you did.
Yeah. Dexter, season 1. I bought the DVD of the first season for £2 at CEX.
Oh. Nice.
That was very relatively cheap for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched them all. I watched one episode with you guys. Well, I saw like half of the first one, I think.
Or yeah, and then we watched the last. Yeah.
It has its flaws, but ultimately, I think it takes a little while for me for it to get going. I think up until like the fourth episode, I don't know. And then, like, at the fourth episode, it sort of like, ramps up a bit and the stakes get progressively higher. And by the end, I did have a very good time with it. I really enjoyed the show. I will carry on with it as well. So I enjoyed it overall.
Yeah,
I think the acting is very good, and I like the characters a lot. And it's sort of, it is corny, and it is like a product. It is very much a product of its time, and like it took that kind of... It took a few episodes to kind of get over that hump. It was like, this is so rooted in like 2006, where like
the first episode,
I was like, I'm not gelling with this like really much at all.
I didn't hate it because I actually was really enjoying it. I was, and I still did. I was like, Chris, I mean, I'm still going to carry it on, but I'm still really pissed off about this because it is.
Just this one thing, like
it's
in the last
episode. Yeah, it's so fucking like, man, really? Like, did it have to be like that?
Yeah.
And then Chris was talking about how apparently it was like a book beforehand, but I didn't know that already.
Yeah, it's based on,
blah, blah, blah.
The first season's based on a book called Darkly Dreaming Dexter, which I've read. It's actually a really, really good book. Mm. There's a lot of differences in the show. A lot of the characters in the book are just kind of like, they're just there. They have like two lines and that's about it.
Oh, okay.
But I think Angel Batista doesn't really have any like dialogue in the book.
Mm.
I think Masuka, the other like forensic guy, he isn't in the book at all, if I remember correctly.
Do you know what? They should have kept him out of the show as well. He's horrendous.
All
He's
the
absolutely
stuff
horrendous.
With Rita's ex-husband, I don't think was in the book either. I mean, it's pretty much literally just the Ice Truck Killer story.
Mark Pellegrino coming in.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
What a name.
He was in Supernatural. I think he played the devil. And that's where I knew him.
I thought I recognised him.
When he came in, I was like, it's this guy.
Whereas my point
so
of reference
of
was Twilight Breaking Dawn.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought that was Misha Collins or whatever.
Wait, what? Mr. Collins, no, he played an angel. He played Castiel.
Yes, he did. Oh, okay, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
But, oh, God, Mr. Collins. Hey. Anyway.
Okay. I mean.
Getting off track now. Why don't you
talk about what fucking pissed you off? Like, just.
Oh, sorry. It's going to be quite obvious now. Like, in the end, when they find out that Dexter just suddenly remembered he had a brother. And I was like, I fucking hate this. I hate this. I hate this so much.
I had a brother.
Of course he's a brother.
I had a brother, and he was beautiful in every way.
And I was just like, fucking hell. And I just looked at Chris
cliche,
and I was like, yeah, I was so pissed off. But
it didn't piss me off as much, I don't think, as you, because he dies at the end. And I'm like, well, at least they're never going to do that again.
Well, because this is it. It was like, they've revealed that he's got this brother. And I'm like, ooh, how convenient to the story.
Yeah, there's,
and
then all they of a sudden don't have he any dies. Other like really yeah. silly reveals like
it's
that
so
throughout the rest
and
of the
I was
show.
Like, oh, now he's conveniently dead again. So he didn't really need to be his brother in the first place. And it's stuff like that just bothered me. But to be honest, though, it didn't bother me enough to be like, I'm never going to watch this again. Because it's just the kind of goofy attitude of 2005/6.
Yeah.
That I expected, if that makes sense. I was like, part of me was annoyed that I didn't think about that sooner. Like, oh, duh, like it's 2005. Yeah. Of course it's going to be his brother. Oh, look, his brother's randomly here. Yeah. Like, I'm still annoyed about it, but I'm not annoyed enough to be like, this is the worst thing I've ever watched, because it's not. It's far from it, actually.
I think when I first watched this season, I was like 16. And when you got to that reveal, I was like, oh my God, it literally like blew my mind. Yeah. I was like, this is insane.
No, when I watched it, I was like, uh-huh. Okay, all right.
I was very worried starting the show around this time. I've watched the first few seasons quite a few times.
Yeah.
But the first couple episodes, I was kind of like you, Max, like this time around. I was like, I actually don't think I really like this show anymore. Mm-hmm. I was really worried. And then as it kind of like picked up its steam and it got more into it, I was like, no, I remember why I really like this show.
Can we also just talk about how stupid the ending was? Like the very, very end of this season.
Go on.
The fucking bit where he's like, oh, I wonder what everyone would be like if they found out who I really was. And there was like this fucking street party going on. And I was like, this is so dumb.
I loved
like,
it.
I just thought.
That was so fucking funny.
I felt like this whole show. And the thing is, I'm complaining about it, but I'm only like half mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it really takes you back to like nostalgia corners or something. It's like, I remember when TV used to be this fucking like ballsy. Like you don't see shit like that anymore.
Like Bones.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't see shit like this anymore. And I'm like, it's almost like a culture shock. You're like, fucking hell. Yeah. Like,
oh God.
Street parties.
Hit point damage. Like, oh, fuck. Yeah.
But to be honest, I was actually vibing with the rest of the show, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
Especially the crucial surprise motherfucker. It did not fail me.
That old meme. Yeah. Surprise, motherfucker.
French fries, motherfucker.
So good.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Brilliant. Dope. Mm. Knocked out of the park. I love that guy.
It was great. Like, Chris just went, I hope you're ready for this. Yeah. You better get ready. And I was like, God, it's gonna And this, opens this fucking truck full of fucking bananas.
Like
and
containment.
Then he just, fucking goes, surprise, motherfucker. I was like, wah!
It's great. It's so great.
It was it was a moment, and probably
there's a line
my favorite
in the
bit from that.
Second episode where he's like driving and he says, bananas, my favorite fruit, second best driving fruit, keeps my energy up for the day job. I was like, what are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. I actually remember bringing this up because I think he's before he said about the bananas, he said something like, and now I've got another thing to do. I got to have my second favorite fruit or something. It's like, oh, I got a banana.
Three lines, like in the former half of this season, where it's like, what the fuck are you talking
about? Mate, what the fuck is he ever talk about? Like, there were some lines that proper made me cringe. And I turned to Chris and I was like, oh, this was the cringe that you were talking about. This cheese that you were talking about.
It's part
about
of the territory, though, isn't it?
It is.
Casual sexism and all that.
Yeah.
With that Masuka guy, it was like, oh, yeah.
He's horrendous.
I'd fuck you. Haha. And that's like, ba-dum-ts.
That's his only shtick is to be
the sexist
guy. Yeah,
that's like the bit in the second to last episode where they're at Santa's grotto and he says to Deb, can you sit on my lap and like,
something like that. Pretty gross, yeah.
So fucking weird.
Okay. Yeah, it's like, can you sit on my lap and tell me what you want for Christmas or something?
Yeah. Or like that bit where Debs goes, I need to get out of the rain. I'm wet and something else. And then he was about to say something. She goes, don't you dare. And I was like, oh, finally. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not going to let the joke. We're not going to let the joke land today. I don't know.
I thought it.
He's just a bit. I did as well. I'm not going to lie. But I wish he just wasn't in that show, to be honest.
What, Masuka?
Yeah. He serves no purpose but to be annoying as shit. And I'm like, I just don't like this guy.
He is literally just like the cringy comic relief character.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even funny. That's the worst part. If it was funny, I'd let it be. But it's not even funny.
Yeah, the thing is, like, throughout the rest of the show, they don't really do anything with him either.
Yeah.
There's like one storyline towards the end of the show with him that kind of develops him a little bit, but for the most part he's literally just there to crack like sexist jokes.
Cool. Yeah, great one.
Yeah, it's so nice. Yeah, it's so becoming of that that era. I'm going to grow up a little bit, isn't it? Because as the show goes on, does it get any more mature? Like, does it stop being cheesy or does it carry on being cheesy?
I think it is like cheesy, but in a different way. I do think it does get a little bit mature. It does kind of change with the times a little bit.
Because it went on for a very long time. And it had that like, new one that came out that you talked about a bit.
Yeah,
was it last year?
Last year. Yeah. It finished in 2013 and they brought it back last year, finishing beginning of this year.
Wasn't it because everybody basically said this is the worst fucking ending of a show we've ever seen in the history of television? And a lot of people said that about Lost as well. I know what happens at the end because me and Chris have been together like 3 and a bit years now, and I assumed in between this time he just assumed I was never going to watch it. So he's told me how the show ends as well. Not the new ending, but the original ending. Mm.
Well, at least you know, don't know the new ending, eh?
Yeah, that is true. I don't know the new ending, but he was like, well, if you start watching it, you'll know exactly what's going to happen. I was like, well, may as well just fucking tell me the ending then, because apparently you're going to tell me twice, but I just, it's just one of them.
I really like Michael C. Hall as Dexter. He's fantastic.
He is honestly one of my favourite actors, but I feel like he's just kind of been, he doesn't really get a lot of work.
I've not seen him in anything. Does he do anything?
He's been in like,
I'm gonna look him up
a fair
on
few like
see if he's
films
on
and TV shows, and he's just incredible in everything I've seen him in.
Yeah.
But he's just not in a lot of stuff.
That's strange. Maybe he just doesn't want to. Who knows?
Maybe.
I think it's just because a lot of people won't hire him because he's so synonymous with the role that they think audiences won't be able to separate him from
been
it.
In like,
but this performance is like something else. I just feel like he could do anything.
He's been in 23 movies.
Interesting.
One of them I've actually seen, Game Night. He was in Game Night, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was.
I've seen it, but I don't recognise him.
He's barely in it, but he's like a villain in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, he's really good in this show. He's really good. The one thing that I thought probably I didn't gel with all that much was like this insistence that he was a guy who had like no emotions. He's like very regular. He has no emotions. And like, he's like, oh man, I wish I could feel things sometimes. But like throughout the show, he just like, or the seasons, like he's constantly like
showing,
getting irate or just like things tick him off. Yeah. Or like, he gets happy, he gets sad.
Yeah, well,
he cares about Deb. He cares about his father. He cares about, you know, oh my God, I have a baby brother and he was beautiful in every way. And all that bullshit, all that, he cares about so much.
Yeah.
He says he doesn't really care all that much about his girlfriend. But like by the end of the season, it's like, he fucking does.
Yeah,
he definitely does.
I think it's just like a front he puts up. It's something that later on they definitely delve into a lot more and they do kind of develop and he does kind of come to terms with the fact that he's not just like this rock solid guy without emotions, but
I think why they were so like adamant on it, because every time he was doing something, I just turn around to Chris and be like, well, here we go again.
A lot of it comes down to the character, because he is so low, like worried about being caught and he's worried about people seeing the real him. So he does kind of try and pretend he doesn't feel anything because if he admits he does or shows people how he actually feels, then they might see through to who he really is.
Yeah. Yep. I just felt like the whole time he was like very like level.
Yeah.
Or like he didn't really give himself away all that much, but like the moment he thought he could be caught, he goes into fucking like insanity. It's like, oh fuck, I gotta throw all my tools away, I gotta fucking like clean the scene again or whatever. Oh, I'm fucked, I can't get out, I'm actually gonna like go to jail. This is so fucked up. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah, well, you were the guy with no emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing that's quite confusing, because when you think about it, like, he's always going on about like how he always goes to bed, like, you know, he's never worried about this kind of thing. And I think, to be honest though, I guess the average human being, if they had killed someone, they'd probably constantly think about it. So like, where did it just switch randomly where he goes, oh shit, I actually think I care about this now, but then still carries on doing it? And I'm like, wouldn't you just stopped? If you were that worried about being found out, you would just stop while you're ahead. That's just not the show, is it? The show just, there's no logic to this show. This show is like, here we go.
There's a scene in the third episode where it's like a flashback, and Dexter and Deb are like on the, like next to their dad, and he's on his like deathbed, and he like talks directly to Dexter, and he's like, you know what? I can't stop you from being who you are. If you feel like you're slipping, lean on your sister. And I'm just like, isn't Deb being like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah,
but she never fucking asks him.
Yeah, she never questions it at all.
Well, at the time, she's like, what are you talking about?
But then that's it. I would bring that up all the time.
I love that scene where he's wearing like the most obviously fake wig.
I was just about to say, how awful did that look?
I loved it.
I actually think I burst out laughing, because I was like, what the fuck is that? They went, oh, we'll just de-age him by putting a fucking bowl of wig.
I love it. It was so funny. It was so fucking funny.
Yeah,
it's like a toss of the coin whether you're like going to get a different actor or just him in a wig.
Yeah.
With the flashback scene.
That's another thing, isn't it? That's another 2005 fucking special for you.
I don't know if this was on purpose, but in the very first episode, I thought, so this guy is like a Patrick Bateman type sort of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the fucking fifth episode or
are you going to talk about what I think you're going
to
talk about?
No, it's the sixth episode. But like he needs to get like tranquilizer at times. Mm-hmm. And then we'll use an alias to do that.
Yep.
But he'll use the name Dr. Patrick Bateman.
How stupid can you be for doing that? Like that. That's
you
why
do that on purpose?
I saw that as well and I thought,
I think
okay.
The creators wanted to do it's just like a tongue-in-cheek reference.
Yeah, that's how I saw it.
When did that movie come out?
Like 2000, so.
That's quite good. That's quite good. No, because I was actually thinking that. I was like, how far apart was this? Like, it was just meant to be like a...
Because I
would have assumed that most people by this day and age would have seen the movie, but I didn't know whether it was still fresh. And then I was like, oh, maybe not everyone has seen it. Maybe not everyone will get the joke, but...
Yeah. But I liked when he started showing emotion and like, actually started caring. Because before, I was like, what does it matter? Like, he doesn't care.
When he actually starts
trying to help people, like, oh my God, my sister's been kidnapped. And he just goes fucking insane.
Yeah.
Or like, he's like, this guy, my girl's ex-husband, or like her, he's just like, he's fucked. I need to get him out of here. She's like fucked up. She can't handle it. I need to protect her. And he like, knocks him out and fucking stage. That was the fucking best.
Yeah,
so
good.
Knocks him out just with a fucking frying pan and he chucks him in the boot of a car, drives him across state lines where he's not supposed to go, stages this fucking violation of his probation, sticks a fucking heroin needle in him and like doses him up and then he goes back to prison. I was like, that was sick. That was so fucking cool.
Yeah, it's really good.
And he does it because he cares. He loves her.
Yeah.
That's why he did it.
That's what makes the character more interesting than just like a Patrick Bateman sort of type,
yeah, like,
I think.
How much effort that must have been to go through to do all that. Yeah. And most people
like,
would
like,
fucking
prefer
do
her like happy than like annoyed, you know.
I do somehow like the idea that
like, yeah, I bet
he managed to do all of that and get back before she even noticed that he was gone. Like, how the fuck did... That must have been like some trajectory speed.
He's very strong.
For him to do that.
Very strong. So we could carry him to the boot of the car and fucking go.
Yeah, like, no,
but we saw him do it.
To cross state... Like, it depends how far across the state line is, right?
He didn't, like... He just put him in the boot of the car and then he waited until he had to leave. He didn't like drive him to new state lines and then come back and be like, I was always here.
That's what I thought he did.
No.
Because he's like in the house
yeah, like, when the kids are like,
speed does
where
he go
did my
at?
Daddy go? His car's not there.
Oh man.
I actually do kind of like the idea though that he drove at like fucking 200 miles per hour to take him to this drug den and fuck him up before he came back and went, hi guys, just outside taking out the beer.
Always annoyed me when like he what's her name, like his girlfriend,
Rita,
just like always coming on to him or something, just like, I can't do this. Fucking leave. It's so funny. When I'm like, you're an idiot. You're a fool. She's so hot. What are you doing?
And there's just that one time where I think Angel says you got to bring Le Passion.
Yeah.
And like he brings home the DVD of like Terms of Endearment, I think it was. And she's like crying and he tries to go down on her.
And then all you hear is like, you know how he always talks, it's like that inner monologue and he goes, Le Passion. And I was like, no, no.
It's time.
Me and Chris were just like, oh, dear God.
Well, we've all been there. Oh. I'd say you haven't tried it.
It's just the way that he said it. Oh, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
Fucking amazing. I loved it so much. So good. Brilliant. So like Deb's boyfriend, the fucking the honest truck killer. He was called himself Rudy.
Yeah.
I was like, who the fuck falls for a guy called Rudy? His sister like falls for him.
Actually did think it was really
it's
random.
Like incest by proxy.
Like how that came about.
That is fucked up though.
No, but then when
I think about it, it's kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think Brian's worse. Like when he was like
Brian.
He was like, oh yes, it's me. Brian, your brother, and I was
that's right, it's me, Brian.
I just got upset because I was like, his name's Brian.
The dog from Family Guy.
That's what Chris said. He was like, R.I.P. Brian Griffin. And I was like, what the fuck?
You've seen that video when that guy shows that other guy the video of Brian death scene. And he's like, Brian's dead. Oh, so good. And he gets it right, you know. The characters, they get all these characters right, I think. Sets them up. You want them to succeed. Uh-huh. You don't want them to die. You don't want to see Deb die. So I was like, if she dies, I'm fucking out of here. But she doesn't die, thank God. And I love that fucking scene at the end where he saves her and like Stokes is like, I'm on to you, son of a bitch. And then she comes over and she's like, don't you fucking say that about my brother. He's a hero. Fuck you. And I was like, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I feel, Chris was trying to tell me apparently about like how fans actually hate Deb. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, a lot of people hate her. Find her really annoying.
Wow. I didn't get that though. I was waiting to hate her because you told me that people hated her. So I was like, Okay, let's see what she's about then.
I think it's just
and I didn't get it.
She's like loud, she swears a lot, people like just don't really gel with her, but I always really loved her.
Right, but by 2005 standards, maybe she was an annoying bitch, but by today's standards,
she's a bad ass.
Yeah, she's a gaslight girl keep,
gas boss, and you know, the rest of
Gate.
Yeah, it was only like the recent season that just came out that I actually didn't really like her, and the rest of it I really really like the character.
Yeah, I like her.
Well, Chris has spoiled two characters that don't die for me, so
wait, what?
I know that the sexist guy doesn't die, and I know that Deb doesn't die, so I'm not watching the rest of this. I'm done. I'm out of here.
There is a lot of like really interesting characters that are really likable, played really, really well. I think it's a testament to the writing and also just the performances. I think everyone's just fantastic in it.
They somehow made that work in the cheesiest 2005 show.
Even characters who are like kind of bad, like LaGuerta or Dokes, like it kind of shitty people, you do like really enjoy watching them.
I don't think she's that bad. She's just too into the craft, I think.
Knows what she wants.
Yeah, when your job's your whole life. LOL.
Yeah, I like them.
Yeah, I had a good time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much for me to say on that, apart from liked show, liked characters.
You think he talks in his head a lot? Like, you're hearing his narration, I think it probably wouldn't have worked if you didn't know what was going on in his mind, especially considering he was supposed to be a guy who had no feelings. You need to hear from the guy who has no feelings because you need to know why he doesn't feel things.
Sure, like, I was waiting for, like, the ultimate, like, I don't know, fourth wall break or something where everything just stops and he goes, I'm Dexter. You're probably thinking, how did I become a serial killer? And he just starts talking.
Thought it does that, though, like, towards the end.
It literally may as well have been like that the whole time.
I think there was, like, one part in, like, the ninth episode. We already ran down by episode. And he says something in his head. And then Doke says, what the fuck was that, Morgan? I was like, what? Can you read his mind?
I didn't even pick up on that. That's actually quite funny.
Like, that definitely happened. That would be so fucking cool if he was actually a mind reader. No spoilers. I need to have it unveiled for me as I carry on.
Yeah, I really love all the voiceovers. I think it's probably one of my favourite examples of like a like character narration or like a character like kind of just describing their thoughts as it goes along.
The best example of that to ever be done is definitely Scrubs.
Or Twilight.
Twilight?
Yeah, Twilight. Twilight's probably the main one.
Nah, Scrubs.
Twilight is the main one. We all consider this the truth. Although, I don't know why Deb even liked Dexter, apart from the fact that he was her brother.
I think that's he was kind of just it.
Fucking rude to her the whole time. He just blew her off. He had nary a nice word to say about her.
Yeah.
Pretty much ever.
And the only time he ever did was when he was talking to us. Like, in his narration voice. Like,
you know what?
She has a big heart, man.
She's all right sometimes.
She's so much better than me.
I feel like that's kind of just it, though. They're, like, the only family they have now. So they are kind of, like, very close because of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, it got to me a bit when I was like, I don't know if you put up with it that much. Like he's like,
they're not
fucking really rude to her sometimes.
Yeah, like they're not even like blood related either. Like it's not even the case of being like, ah, God, he's actually my family. I have to love
him.
Well,
I don't know. About,
he doesn't really. She doesn't really have to love him. I know you don't have to love your family, but you know what I mean. Like she doesn't really have any loyalty to him. Really.
Well, I never put much stock in blood ties, in that way.
No, but. I'm just going by the logic that, like, if you were going to do that, you don't have to do it now. You know what I mean? But it's whatever.
Yeah.
It's a TV show. You know what you're going to do. What you're gonna, they're not even real. They're not even real people.
I like in episode 5 when he, like, kills those... the Cuban couple.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? I'm going to ask you guys some questions. He's, like, really trying to, like, figure it out. Like, what makes the relationship work? He's like... How do you love each other after 12 years before he kills them? They're like, we want the same thing. You're like, thank you. That's helpful. And he just fucking kills them.
Yeah. Then so it leads to that like, really sweet scene where they're like, him and Rita are eating dinner together and they like just kind of say about how they just want a normal life.
Yeah. I want normality.
And yeah, I didn't really think it was all that sweet though when you fucking. Contrast it to the scene before where people were getting fucking cut up and shit. I was just kind of like,
no, it's cute.
I didn't find it cute at all.
It's cute.
No.
And, you know, he's trying to relate to her.
Yeah, I didn't think it was cute though, not after that.
Hey, baby, I just carved up these two fucking weirdos.
And they taught me a valuable lesson about relating to other people.
Oh, wait a minute. Can we just do it? You just triggered another fucking brain memory.
Brain memory?
The really, the really, really funny bit when that little boy does the sketch and it turns out to be Jesus.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
Because Dexter's like, oh no, it's going to be a picture of me. I'm going to lie. And then he just...
Insane.
And it's just Jesus.
I was thinking, like, so what if he says it to you? He's fucking traumatized. Just be like, yeah. He's insane. Like, of course it's not me.
Just be like, I look I'm a
police officer. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm a police officer.
I'm not saying that, like, he's a generic looking guy, but you could probably, like, draw someone who looked like him and be like, oh, it kind of looks like you, but it's not you.
He's a very good looking, generic looking guy, but.
No, you know, yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, he's.
I wouldn't pick him out of the lineup, really.
Like, he doesn't really have anything, like, overly identifiable about him either.
Except when he does the fucking Kubrick smile.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. Like, yeah. This guy's insane. He's so good at it.
Which is what made that Jesus thing even fucking funnier for some reason. I just wasn't expecting that to. Why didn't I expect that? But I just did. Ugh, so funny.
Who's. Do you guys remember in episode 8 where. Dokes chases that guy under the causeway.
Yeah.
It's like this whole thing about, like, did he kill him or who shot first?
Mm.
They're like, this guy is dead. But, and they show the body. He's so clearly breathing. Like, he's just his stomach is fucking rising up and down. I'm like, what do you mean he's dead?
I forgot about that.
Didn't even try.
Yeah.
Fucking
That's why he's an extra.
Oh, so funny.
I like that. I might have to go back.
It's riddled with shit like that. That's why I can't. I don't take it seriously. I can't watch him and be like, this is so super serious, because it is from 2006 and it comes with the trappings from that era. But still really liked it.
Maybe they actually saw that in edit and went, we'll just keep
it. I think at the same time, it's not supposed to be completely serious. There's definitely a lot of serious things going on, but. A lot of it is like quite comedic and quite silly. It does seem quite self-aware a lot of the time. It kind of knows it's a kind of goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I cannot fathom in any world where they think this is an actual serious show.
No, there was like that guy who they cut off his hand and his foot and he's like in the hospital and Deb's like, well, I like this guy. I'm going to get him a whore.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck? She's like, well, why don't we just blindfold you like you were blindfolded when you were being cut up, and maybe it will evoke memories and definitely not re-traumatize you and make you worse. I'm a police officer.
Like, I know what I'm
doing.
Why
don't you know that? Why don't you know that's a bad idea? And then she's like, you know what else is a good idea? I'm going to get him a whore. What are you talking about?
Yeah, there's a lot of weird decisions in the show.
Oh dear. I don't really have any more notes for it.
I don't. It's kind of self-packaged, really, isn't it?
Something else I wanted to bring up is I really do like the music, but I wish there was a little bit more of it rather than the same stuff being repeated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of a problem I have with just the show as a whole, because they do repeat the same like themes and stuff throughout
Shut up, Darcy.
That was the theme. I was doing the theme.
But I'd really, really love the intro theme song and just that whole title sequence. It's one of my favourites.
I'll be honest, I skip through it all the time.
Yeah, so did we.
Yeah, I think we watched it like once.
I watched it once and I went, okay, we never have to watch that again.
I've got that. That's in the bank.
I'd be happy to watch it like every time, but it's like... It's connected as a chapter with the recap.
Yeah, it's like, here's what happened last time. And then like by the time you're actually in the episode, like 2.5 minutes have passed.
Yeah. It's like it's its own chapter, so we just skipped the chapter and get into the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't be bothered. Watch a recap of the episode that I watched 0.5 seconds before that. I get if this was like a weekly thing, but like literally, I just clicked
to be like that on the DVD.
No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm.
One thing I'll say is I liked in the second episode, they said, you know what, we got a new victim. and he was a police officer. I was like, oh, so it doesn't matter then.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Great. Great season. Thanks. What are we going to rate this out of?
Blood slide.
Blood slide.
I like the blood.
Yeah. He has this cool little blood slide box.
You freak. Yes, he does.
Yeah, like I said, I think this is, like I said, if it's not my favourite show, it's definitely up there. I really, really love it. It's very goofy and very flawed, but there's so many great things, I think, to it. This is one of my favourite seasons of the show as well. I think it's a really great introduction to all the characters in the world that they're creating. Yeah, I think I give it 9 blood slides out of 10 just this season alone.
Yeah, cool. This season alone, I mean, I've only seen this one. I guess I'll rate it out of that. I had a really good time with it. It does take a little while on the uptake to kind of get going and get the ball rolling, but by that end episode, I'm like, yeah, something's going to happen. They're setting up things. Things are coming. More things are coming. I'm going to watch season 2. I will. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for recommending it, Chris.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Probably give it 8 blood slides out of 10.
Surprise, motherfucker. 8 blood slides out of 10.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Surprise, motherfucker. French fries, motherfucker. God, I love that meme so much. Tumblr, peak.
Next episode is a Christmas episode. It will be 105 number episode. So we're all doing Christmas movies, and then we're going to take a week off because it's just very busy time, and we don't have time for it. So we're all picking a Christmas movie each. Take it away, Chris.
Yes. So I'm picking a movie that I don't think Max has seen.
Ooh.
I think we established Darcy has seen it. But yeah, it's one of my favourite Christmas movies. I'm picking Gremlins.
Ooh, Gremlins.
Joe Dante movie, 1984. Oh, just got it on 4K.
Interesting.
No, yeah, it's one of the ones. Mm. One of the ones I've not seen.
It's very rare that I've seen a movie and Max has not seen a movie.
I'm sort of tossing it up and I was like, oh, well, this is going to be like lame and boring. But I figured I have been meaning to watch it for a while. So I'm just going to toss a coin, just like, I'm just going to take a chance on it. So it is the 1960 movie directed by Billy Wilder called The Apartment.
Oh, nice. I really want to watch that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I've gone for the very generic approach.
Elf.
No, I'm not subjecting anyone to Elf, but I am going to make...
I almost did.
I am going to make everyone watch The Nightmare Before Christmas instead.
Nice.
Yeah, we thought you'd pick that, so her backup choice was the Corgi Christmas movie.
Oh, fucking hell.
It wasn't a Corgi Christmas movie. It's a Royal Corgi Christmas.
Oh, we can watch that too.
Yeah.
Great. So we got Gremlins, The Apartment, and The Nightmare Before Christmas coming up next week on the Sunday Movie Marathon. We have social media. YouTube, The Sunday Movie Marathon. Instagram, @ Sunday Movie Pod. Twitter, @ Sunday Movie Pod. Facebook, @ Sunday Movie Marathon. And Letterboxd, @ Sunday MM. Capital S, capital MM. Woo! Remember to like, subscribe, and rate the podcast. 5 stars.
Woo!
Any finals?
Merry Chrysler.
Merry Chrysler.
Coming at you hard, coming at you fast. Normal things, normal results.
Delicious.
In the Christmas episode, where we will all have presents.
Will we all have presents?
And pies. Perhaps.
Could get
all pie. This and more on episode 105 of the Sunday Movie Marathon.
Doodles.
The Bluetooth device is ready to pair. The Bluetooth device is connected successfully.